This weekend in Eugene, there's a veterans filmmaking workshop, and it is put on by the VA along with Benjamin Patton, who's the grandson of General George Patton, and Will Wagner and Ben are with me today. How are you both doing today?
Great to be here,
George. Really beautiful day out here in Florence.
So tell me a little bit about this. Let's get everybody educated here on this. I think one of the things that we've seen over time as social media and as recording and that has become more and more readily available to people, there's an opportunity for folks to tell their story in a unique and interesting way. Tell us about the inception of this project.
Well, again, as you said, I come from not just the great general of World War II. My father was also perhaps less famous, but equally audacious, a general from the Vietnam and Korea War eras, George S. Patton as well. And my mother's side of the family goes back to the American Revolution, West Point graduates for, 150 years. So I have a lot of that in my blood. I went a different direction, and I'm a filmmaker and a psychologist. And what the genesis of this was actually for me, I was working with teenagers and doing summer film camps for teens. And I started to see that a lot of them were making films about identity. And in our adolescence, of course, we have a constantly evolving identity. You know, our first kiss, getting picked on, everything in between. And I started to see that this might help. And I talked to some of my dad's colleagues from Vietnam, and they said, this might help some of our veterans in transition who are looking for their new identity, which they often think of as a new norm. And so we got an opening at a big military base where the 4th Infantry Division is in Colorado, and we got to try this out. And so 15 years later, we're doing some work with the VA. We do a lot of these. Instead of at bases, we do them at community colleges and colleges because of there's a lesser stigma there, around getting help. And I guess what I do want to say, though, is that the reason this is so important is that we have a big problem with suicide, depression, and isolation among veterans, particularly in rural states like Oregon. And we've worked all over the country and in Israel, but right now we're focused on rural states such as Wyoming and Montana, which are 1 and 2 in suicide. And there are about 400,000 vets in the U.S. that are not enrolled in the VA that have post-traumatic stress, and about 60,000 in the Rockies. And I know there are a number of them up here. So I can go more into what we do, but that's kind of the genesis of what it is.
Have you seen a difference in the suicide rate from, say, Vietnam veterans versus Iraq War veterans? Is it different, greater, lesser? Is it the same?
Well, I mean, my statistics going back aren't as strong, but I can say that right now we have in some of the highest places, it's about 2.5 times the national average. And the average, the 22 a day is a great moniker, but right now it's about 17 a day, but it's going up in the younger veterans. And the veterans are most at risk the closer they are to when they get out. And so we're really focused a lot on those veterans. And I can get into a little bit later. I want to introduce my great friend over here, Will Wagner, but there's a lot to the idea of using narrative and storytelling. And I'll just say this before I get into the details of what we do and how we do it. But it's really focused on storytelling, because stories are wonderful mechanisms for teaching, for remembering things. But in the context of a troubled veteran, they help veterans kind of make sense of things that don't often make sense. It's putting Humpty Dumpty back together again. If you can sort of make sense of your history, you can then reflect on it, learn from it, and move on.
So as a psychologist, is talking about it what brings about the healing, or is talking about it just kind of gets things going and then more therapy and more stuff has to go into that?
Well, yes, I would say what we do is I would say unique in all the world. There's nobody that's doing what we are specifically doing, but I wouldn't call us a PTSD reducer. We are more of a gateway. So since we're talking about it, I'll just give you a quick outline of how it works. You bring about 20 vets into a room. You surround them with professional filmmakers. My lead instructor won an Oscar last year. So these guys are very, very talented filmmakers. About a third of them are vets. Just so happens, coincidentally, that a number of my instructors happen to be Israeli Defense Forces vets that came to the U.S. and went to film school, and they just happen to be incredibly talented. So we bring them into a room. We teach them about storytelling. Why do we tell stories? And I've talked about some of that. How do we tell stories? Music, sculpture, art, all kinds of different things, you know, but filmmaking is perhaps the most powerful, arguably, in that it encompasses a lot of other types of things. We can make films about all those kinds of things. But the real secret sauce to what we do is collaboration. I mean, nobody takes their own life or hurts themselves when they're hanging out with their friends making movies or going to church or, you know, or at a picnic or something. That happens in the middle of the night when your wife's out to dinner or you're in the back of a national park or trailer park or something like that. It's an isolating, and I think Will can speak to this much more authoritatively than I can. So I'd say the secret sauce is you bring them together. Oftentimes they're reluctant to be there, but we will take any veteran. Because even the veterans that are not struggling with post-traumatic stress know where their friends that are. And so they come out of the woodwork. A lot of them don't want to go to the VA because of the stigma and because they just don't think they need help. But maybe they'll come and make movies with General Patton's grandson or, and a bunch of professional filmmakers for free for a weekend. They come out of it in groups of three or four or five vets supported by the banks of the river, which is sort of my, you know, what I think of as the instructors, just guiding them in how to make a powerful film and what the elements can be. But they decide the stories, they self-select into groups around themes they like, and they control every aspect of the process. And they don't even have to be in it or even put their name in the credits. And then the result is empowerment. So our motto is listen, collaborate, empower.
Will, you deal a lot with our veterans locally and across the state here. Talk a little bit about how you feel this is impactful for our folks.
You know, I think there's a number of different ways that we can benefit from things like these. You know, about 2 years ago, I was lucky enough to come over after 15 years with the Vet Center program as a PTSD therapist, which I enjoyed immensely, come over and work with the suicide prevention team at Roseburg VA Medical Center. And what I do is I go into communities, especially those rural, hard-to-reach places, and we build coalitions. We put people together. It's not a VA-driven thing. We're just there saying, hey, we're flexible. Use us for what you need, because that's a part of it, but it's not everything. When you talk about resocialization, it's people becoming human again. And they take all these skill sets with them and no place to use them, right, or put them. If somebody's special forces or somebody was a fighter pilot or even like myself, an F-15 crew chief, right, sure, you can go into aviation, but you don't ever have that connection that is spirit de corps. And so bringing veterans together, there's just this natural sort of understanding, this gnosis of this is the way it is. This empathy just sort of happens. And validation is extremely important these days. The VA does an excellent job and is still looking to expand through community care and building on that, empowering communities to help themselves as well. But they can't do everything. And there's a lot, when we talk about one of the number one causes of veterans' suicides, we're thinking about things like survivor guilt and shame and moral injury. And moral injury is a proponent not a lot of people take into consideration, that sometimes you do everything the right way and bad things still happen. And especially in Iraq and Afghanistan, a lot of those battlefronts saw small, heavy conflict that was scattered throughout the countries, and there was no visible enemy at times. You never knew what was safe. People come home and they're trying to make sense of belonging, right? And trying to get situated and feel like they're part of something again. These film workshops are extremely important because you can develop a storyboard that's your own and nobody oversees it. The VA, we're just a partner in this. You know, the Patton Veterans Project has taken the lead nationally with this wonderful idea of being able to express things through film that words can't often say. If you go into the YouTube channel and watch some of the shorts, Patton Veteran Project's YouTube channel, you'll see all these 5 or 6 minute shorts that in that time say so much sometimes without even verbiage, just the setting and the emotions around coming home, what it feels like, trying to adapt, trying to readjust. So the rural communities aren't often loaded full of socialization opportunities. And this gives us that chance to find a hub like a university and bring people together. And so we're really looking forward to it.
And just to add to that, there's several components to this that make it very unique. And one of them is it's very safe. So again, you choose what you want to make a film about collectively with a group of folks that sort of drift over to this side of the room and say, I want to make one about transition or suicide or family or why I love the Army or hate the Navy. You know, of course, I'm an Army brat. I didn't mean that on purpose. We like the Navy. But my point is it's safe. And it's also somewhat fictionalized. So a lot of people come and say, oh, I'm going to have to spill my guts about something that I don't want to talk about. Or the opposite. Yeah, I got this story I've been carrying around in a notebook since the Korean War, and I want to tell that story. That's not it either. Because if, let's say, the three of us make a film about grief. You know, I happen to have lost my son's mother to suicide about 6 years ago, and maybe someone was deployed and you lost a friend in battle or vice versa, whatever that is. So we come together and we want to make a film about grief. If it relates to just my experience, then it's not really going to be relevant to you guys. But if I broaden it out and we just come up with a story that has a piece of each of us in it, just imagine how, then we don't know each other, just imagine how many other people it will impact. And I think that is the key. And then it becomes empowering because I can show that to my family or a friend or a battle buddy. And you don't have to be in the military to have an idea of whether you like Patton, for example. You know, so film we like to think of as an empathy machine. It really is an amazing communications device, certainly more powerful and more ubiquitous than any other way of communicating narrative that ever existed.
Well, I mean, it totally makes sense that, you know, when you take a little piece of everybody's experience, that it does broaden that appeal to other mm-hmm. people. So that I can see where that was really, you know, impactful there.
Yeah. And also when you get to the end, it's impactful in a number of ways. And why we call it a gateway, and why in the last couple of years, we started working with the VA. Because we did a clinical study about 5 years ago with the VA, and we had just men and women that were transitioning out of the military that had diagnosable levels of post-traumatic stress and were not in any kind of VA or other mental health support. 80% of them took an appointment with a mental health counselor, typically at the VA, within a few months of the mm-hmm. workshop. So in other words, you and Will is going to do the workshop as well as help administer it this weekend. So he's going to get a dual perspective on it as an observer and as a participant immersed in it. Because as you will see, Will, and you may find it, whether you've had post-traumatic stress or not, you will find some level of transformation in yourself where at the end you'll go, wow, you know, I, for those people that aren't in VA care or don't take their meds, they're kind of like, wow, that Ben Patton was okay. Or maybe I should go to that healing waters fly fishing, you know, class. And if you then capture that while they still feel that way, while they've come out of their cave in a certain sense, out of the woodwork, and the VA can help sort of capture that afterwards and bottle that up and say, hey, you know, we've got resources. Now that we've activated you and now that you've had this powerful experience, stick with us. And that's the key.
Yeah, there's several things, too, to highlight in that the Vietnam veterans are heroes. Ben's father, even more decorated than Ben's grandfather, the great general from World War II, driving in from Eugene today, driving out here, listened to one of his famous speeches at West Point. And it's just unbelievable the amount of just gallantry and heroism that we see with our Vietnam veterans. They have changed the face completely of the VA over the years and made it what it is today, more human, more real, and definitely more spread out. And I think one of the things that I like the best is this is also a venue for them to transfer some of that oral history, you know, is that spoken word, and we learn vicariously through that. And in all those years I worked with the Vet Center, which was started in 1979 by Vietnam veterans. It's a small confidential part of the VA, right? There's that storyline that continues. We used to do potluck dinners on Saturdays and just bring people into the Vet Centers when I was in Tacoma. I worked there for 7 years, right next to JBLM, Joint Base Lewis-McChord, one of the largest bases on the planet, right? And these vets would come in and some of them would write stories or read poetry after the buffets, and the family members would just, the tears would be flooding because emotional numbing is one of the major criterion for PTSD. And when somebody is flat like that, we cannot read them and it feels like they're gone, but they are not gone. For all you veterans listening today, they know exactly what I mean. As you sit there with that look on your face, like you're ready and you're polished, but underneath, it's like that duck, those feet are kicking. They're kicking like you wouldn't believe just to survive. And sometimes you open your heart a little bit just through movie making or some other form of expression where you don't have to use verbiage, it can go a long way. And you start to thaw. And when you become more vulnerable, guess what? Now everybody else is coming around you again, and you get that connection that you so desperately seek.
You can take the mask off of pretending that everything's okay and that. So if a veteran's sitting at home right now and they're going, I don't know if I want to do this or not. I don't know if I can do this or not. What do you say to them?
I would say it's not just for you. It's for all the veterans around you, because you're also sharing, right? Camaraderie, connection, the things we love so much about serving. You come back and you pick up everybody and you make sure that we get through this together.
Right. And as a psychologist, that probably works, right? As opposed to someone going, well, I'm doing this for me. But you say you broaden it in the spect. Hey, you're doing this for your fellow vets.
Right. The idea that they can help vets is one of the things that gives them that sense of purpose. I mean, my father, when he got out of the military, he lost for a period of time. I'm not sure if he ever got it fully back. The two things that I think he most cherished about, other than service itself, about being in the military, and that's fellowship and a sense of purpose. And I think they lose both when they come back. But it's out there. And I think that certainly that's something we tell them. The other thing is, on a practical level, I mean, dude, you're working with top-level filmmakers, great equipment. You're hanging out for free, eating meals, hanging out with filmmakers, hanging out with other vets for a weekend. There's nothing more fun than making movies with your friends insofar as, hey, I'll bring a couple friends with me. Every once in a while, I think I've done this for 15 years with, I don't know, more than 1,500 vets, and probably done 110 of these workshops, including a couple of JBLM.
Yeah. Yeah.
And made about 400 short films. So, I mean, it's fun. And what's interesting about it is when they come out of it, that's the catharsis. They come out and they go, wow, that at first, if we asked for a release, like the kind of release you would ask us for today to make sure we could have no problem airing this radio piece, or you were interviewing the president and he cried on camera, you know, for 60 minutes. Well, you want to get that released beforehand. So normally most people say, well, get it beforehand. We don't do it till after they see their film at the end of the workshop. And of the 1,500 vets or more that I've worked with, every single one is signed a release. And so they come out feeling empowered, like, yeah, I want people to see this. And I'll just add that there are two other really key elements, one I already alluded to, and that is the tracking, which is new and different, is that it used to be difficult to raise money. It still is, but it was very difficult to get large grants because they'd say, well, how's that veteran doing now? And I would go to Fort Hood or something, or JBLM or Fort Drum up where you're from, which is god-awful cold. I mean, we were there one time doing a workshop, and they actually shut down the base while we were there.
I'm from Oregon now, so.
Yeah, well, you were from Buffalo, and that's the coldest place on earth. But anyway, it's just a very powerful thing to experience this, but the tracking is important now, because back then we wouldn't know when we were going to come back to Fort Drum or JPLM. Mm-hmm. Now we're only going to do this mm-hmm. in places, hopefully Florence, where we can come three times a year until we run out of vets.
Yep.
And that way they become evangelists for the work. If somebody comes out of there, 9 out of 10 of them say, you know what, come to the next workshop, or maybe they'll even come in to help and bring their friend. So the tracking is important, so we know how they're doing and whether they're getting signed up, or whether, even if they are signed up, maybe they just go there for meds, or maybe they haven't talked to their ex-wife for a long time or something like that.
Yep.
It sets them up yep. for success because, and I'm, it's tricky for me to say this, but at some point, a veteran or anybody that's had a shared trauma that wants to move on in their life has to take initiative. They have to step out of the tent themselves. You can hold their hand and walk into the deep end with them, but at some point they have to swim. And I think this sets you up for that. And then the VA or whoever else is out there to hold their hand when they go further into the deep end. And that's a very important element of this. And I'll just close with the last piece, which is, I would say, equally important. And you related to it when you spoke about helping other vets, and that is education. So how many spouses have I met that come to the screenings? We typically have a screening a month after. It's a way to keep the vets engaged, but it's also a way to validate them. They come in and they're so nervous about getting up on stage. They get up there and they realize in about 30 seconds, like I did when I gave my first speech ever, I was so nervous. And then I realized that when I got to the Q&A of a speech, like, I know more about this topic than everybody in this room, so why should I be nervous? And they know more about their film than anybody in this room. And so what happens is I have spouses come into me and say, God, I had no idea John was dealing with this. He never spoke about it. He just hides out in the garage every day and watches, you know, SportsCenter. And so educating family, friends, vets, and community members is so important, because don't forget, I'm a civilian. I grew up having my dad tell me every morning, you know, you never missed a meal or heard a shot fired in anger, and you got to get up and thank people, those who do. And I taught that to my son. And so the education part is just as important, and that part can scale infinitely. You can push a button and have somebody, you know, see anything on YouTube on the other side of the world 100 times. And so that's the really important part, because it takes a village. That's part of that safety net, like under a trapeze artist, that helps those vets, you know, do the acrobatics maybe someday, but if they fall, they're going to be okay. And I think that's really critical here. And that's just as important to help these people understand our vets and appreciate them and work with them and connect with them as humans as it is to help the vets.
All right, let's talk about specifics then of this weekend, all right? You're going to be in Eugene. Talk about what the times are, how that works, and what people can expect.
Well, so we are lucky enough to partner with the University of Oregon and the Veterans Student Center there. It's run by Maria Kalmbach. She does such an excellent job, and she's really expanded the scope, because 80%, because now dependents can use the GI Bill. So University of Oregon is 80% dependent as well. So there's a lot of veteran families, and we try to focus on that family collectively. So often with navigating healthcare, 50% of veterans in Oregon are not enrolled in VA healthcare. And when you think about that, that is something we really want to be able to narrow and get more people involved. Part of that, I just wanted to say this really quick, is validation, is that you can stand down for a second. You matter. Your health is important. We learned that from the Vietnam veterans, that it's okay to admit that you need help. And, you know, the famous General Patton, as well as his son, were very big on supporting troops, meeting them where they were at, and looking at and keeping in mind the human aspects. And that's, Ben is continuing that mission. So we're going to be at University of Oregon, and it is just fantastic, the level of partnerships we've already been able to make. Mm-hmm. It starts tonight, 5:30, at the what they call the Herb Memorial Union, and that's the EMU on campus, and that's the student center. We're going to be there all weekend. 5:30.
Do they need to sign up in advance, or
well, they do? And we're fortunate to have a pretty full house tonight with a waiting list. However, you know, I want a waiting list. I want to go to the governor or the president of University of Oregon or whoever, or the deputy secretary of the VA, Lawrence, and say, look, dude, we've got a bunch of these things here. Let's do it again. I've got 35 instructors, and I've got about 10 of them that can run these things without me. And so, I mean, I want to get a big waiting list. And same thing in Florence. So give us your name. You know, you can go to patentvets.org and sign up. You can write my colleague, Mike, at patentveteransproject.org. Yep. Or me, Ben, at Patent Veterans Project Org, and inquire. Another thing is sometimes when a person maybe has done the workshop, we always say, look, there's a lot of reluctance. So if your friend can't get up off the couch or doesn't really want to take the initiative to do it, ask his permission for us to give him a call. You know, so I'd like to be doing these out in Florence. I want to do them all over the place. Yep. And frankly, someday, I've done them a bit. I've done all women's workshops. I've done family workshops, and for the first time a few months ago, we did an all-civilian workshop with the survivors of this festival in Israel that was shot up, the Nova Festival, which is a mile from Gaza, and all these kind of, you know, 20-something, mostly women that hadn't served and doing their thing, kind of Burning Man meets Woodstock, and then just shot to hell, hundreds of them killed and kidnapped. And so, you know, it would work for anyone that suffered a shared trauma. And in my Walter Mitty fantasy, before I kick the bucket and stick my spoon in the wall, I'd like to be doing it with families from Newtown and Vegas and Uvalde and all these, even the people that have been traumatized in, you know, in some of these urban places these days. But, you know, there's a lot of people we can help, because there's a way of just getting it off your chest, you know, and unloading it and offloading it to someone else can help you carry that burden.
All right. And then there's a tentative date for May 1st through 3rd, right?
Yes.
For Florence to
yes.
do that?
So. Yeah, a lot of support here in Florence. We're going to have a community meet and greet today at 1 o'clock at the Florence DAV. So please come down if you'd like to meet Ben or just hear more about it. The workshop itself is a three-day workshop. We'll start tonight at the University of Oregon at 5:30, do an orientation, and go throughout the weekend. And you'd be surprised how quick things just fall into place. Anytime you assemble veterans, they just come together. That's one of the things we're trained to do is work through differences.
And these films are made. You can go up on our website, patentvets.org. You'll see about 20 of my favorite films, many of which were made in the last couple of years in the Rockies right now. But there's a bunch of them. There's a couple made by Israeli and Americans working together. They didn't speak each other's language. And they're made by 3, 4, 5 vets that have never met before Friday. And they're shot and edited in a day. And some of them have won awards at film festivals. And you will not believe it. And then these people become friends afterwards. And that's the goal.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
Yeah.
Benjamin Patton, Will Wagner, thank you both so much. And good luck. And I'm going to go check out the website and see some of these videos.
And we hope we'll see you very soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much, George.